Go with me to Psalm 8, verse 4. Put on the screen, Psalm 8, verse 4. I want you just to stay in a place of being surrendered. Those online, the same. But more for those who are in the building. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you, say with me, visit. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? Meaning that there's something when we look at God's character from Genesis to Revelation. His desire of visiting his people. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a theophany. A desire of a visitation. We see how Moses had visitations. Abraham had visitations. David had visitations. Solomon had visitations. And there are certain characteristics or qualities where they took place. Are you guys with me? Listen to me. Listen. Go. Let me read it again. Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3 verse 21. And in the spirit of tonight, I just want us to stay in this atmosphere and a visitation, an appearance, an encounter. We might lay hands, we might not. It can happen. You say, while we were worshiping, I saw people over the building beginning to cry and break. Listen, God is not limited to only here in front or praying in front. There's an ability, or there's the atmosphere for you to be touched wherever you are. Say with me, an appearance. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. I'm looking for a scripture. Let me just get one. Yeah. Now listen to this. Then the Lord appeared again. Put on the NIV for me. NIV. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Say with me, his word. Now, I want to try to see how to unpack this thing. For tonight, I didn't come with a teaching or so. I'm just coming with what is in my spirit. When it comes about the appearance of God, God visiting or God appearing to man. If there's one thing that changes a person, it is an encounter, a visitation, an appearance with God, an appearance of God. You cannot have an encounter without a few things happening. Number one, so with a transformation. Then impartation, meaning transformation. If somebody claims to have had an encounter with God, there has to be some type or form of transformation in their lives. Are you guys with me? Then number two, there must be impartation of that encounter. As you leave that place, you must be able to carry that encounter. There's impartation that took place. And then number three, there's a manifestation. Wherever you go, you'll be able to manifest what occurred and what took place in that visitation and encounter. What makes God visit man? King David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him. What is it that makes you God that you're in the heavens, that you will choose here, who is here, to say that one I choose to reveal or show myself to them? What is it? What quality is it? We can only look at those whom God has appeared to and look at their qualities, or even look at their disqualifications. Give me a scripture that says, he has chosen the weak, he's called the weak in Corinthians. Or the disqualifications. The Bible says that in general, and I'm just going to paraphrase for the sake of time and etc., because it is too many scriptures really to get into right now. And I'm just doing to you what comes to me now by the Spirit. Let's start with this one, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things, say with me, the base things. If you take the word base, it's got a very crude meaning. It is the leftovers. It is the residue. It is the things that you would throw away. It is the lowly things, the base things of the world. And the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. What is the quality that God looks at somebody to visit and appear to them? Or to make up in his mind that I'm going to choose that person. Because we think it is about how much we pray or how much we fast, yet God looks for a different quality. When Samuel stood in front of David, not in front of David, in front of David's brothers, to choose and anoint the next king of Israel, he looked at Eliab and he said, surely this is the anointed of the Lord. Because he looked on the outside, Samuel, who is a prophet, whom God has appeared to him continually over and over, looked at the flesh and said, let me take and choose, because this Eliab looks like a leader. It must, surely this man is the anointed. Are you guys with me? And he made the mistake with Saul. Looking on the outside, not the inside. Because Saul was a shoulders and head above than everyone else. Yes, he was whom the people wanted. Are you guys with me? But when he chose with David, the Lord said to him, the moment Samuel wanted to choose Eliab or the other brothers of David, the Lord stopped him. Why? Because every word that Samuel spoke, not one of his words fell to the ground without being fulfilled. So God knew, if this man, if it will just come out of his mouth, it's going to be fulfilled. So I better stop him and say, hold on. I am not a God who looks, I'm not a man who looks on the outside. For I'm God, I look upon the heart. I do not look at the outside appearance. I look at the heart. Are you guys with me? So what is the qualification? Abraham receives a visitation in Genesis 12. I think it is 12:7. They don't have to go there. It says the Lord visited Abraham and spoke to him. I believe it is the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter number 12, verse 7. Speaking about his descendants. God giving him the promise. But according to scripture, as we read it in the book of Genesis, we think that's the first time that God visited Abraham. But it isn't. There was another time that he visited him just before that as well. And then we see, even before that, how the Lord said to him, leave your father and your mother's house and go to a land that I will show you. Are you guys with me? Go to a land that I will show you. Leave your father and your mother's house. And the wording there is the same as in a marriage, where it speaks of leaving and cleaving. leaving your parents' house to cleave to your wife is the same construct in the Hebrew. And the moment he did it, he disobeyed God. Because we think Abraham obeyed God's voice and he left his father's house. But you read a little bit on, you see his whole family with him again. Traveling with him. And he then even took Lot with him. Yet God said, I want you to leave everyone behind. Go on your own. Are you guys with me? So we see him making his first mistake. And then you see how Abraham made mistakes after mistakes. He disobeyed God's voice. I'm not here to put down a patriarch or for people to think that we'll preach it, but go read it. It is where theologians and scholars would say to you in the research, if you research that whole concept, that they would get confused. That God said to Abraham, leave your father's house, yet he took his family with him when he traveled. Because there was a time when I believe his sister died, Lot's father died. They were all with him there. And then we see how he then came to how they wanted to take his wife. I think it was the the king. They came and said that they wanted to sleep with his wife or take his wife, and they found out if his wife they would have taken it. So he lied and he said to his wife, just lie and say you are my sister. And we see how the sins of the father goes to the sins of the son, and Isaac did the same. Exact same. But yet God looks and chooses an imperfect vessel to reveal himself to. Because the moment he chooses a vessel that is able, the glory will not go to God. Are you guys with me? Paul said, the apostle Paul said this. He says, it is not I, but by the grace of God that I've done this. Galatians 2 verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells within me, that lives inside of me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. There's a place where His grace is sufficient for you. A lot of people think I have to be able to do certain things in ministry. No, God is looking for a dead person. I don't know if you understand. He's looking for somebody with a weakness. Because it is brokenness that attracts the favor of God. The Bible says that He is near to the brokenhearted. Are you guys with me? What am I doing? Go think to 2 Peter 1 verse 10. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Well, I'm doing this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call. Say with him, my call. And election. Sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So what are we doing? We're making a call and an election sure. Are you guys with me? How do you make it sure? By having a God appearance, a God visitation, a theophany, a theophanes. Theo is God, phanes is appearance. A God appearance. God choosing to say, this person's heart I'm attracted to. I want to appear. Why do we pray? I want to just make this clear. Why do we pray? Prayer is very important. When I say it, things don't come by prayer, I'm speaking about the religiosity of prayer. But prayer is important because prayer heals your flesh. And you'll see how I'll end off tonight with how a visitation comes. What does prayer do? Jesus says, could you have not waited for me, with me? For and prayed with me for an hour. Could your flesh not have been dead at least for an hour? What does prayer do? It kills your flesh. It subdues your will to say that you're in need of the, or you're totally dependent upon Him. That is what prayer does. Where a lot of people try to pray in a mindset to say that I'm praying because I want to be spiritual. You'll get nothing done there. But the moment you pray with an attitude to say that I come and I pray, I'm praying and I have a prayer life because of dependence, that's the difference. God doesn't visit somebody who wants to be spiritual. He visits somebody who needs Him. Are you guys with me? God doesn't visit somebody who is spiritual. Jesus says, I did not come for the healthy. I did not come for those who are whole, but I came for those sick. I came for those who have a weakness. Meaning, I visit those that are weak. Are you guys with me? I want to give you the quality that God is looking for in a person. Say with me, weakness. So we read to you 1 Corinthians chapter number, I think it was 1 verse 27, where it says that God has chosen the weak things of this world, the base things, the lowly things, the foolish things, to put to shame those which are mighty. Find the place where you are weak in. I want you to, you know, it is one thing for a worshiper to stand and worship God out of their strength. It is another thing for them to worship God out of a place of weakness, where they know that it is everything that they do is dependent upon God. But the moment I think this is because of me, the anointing leaves and talent comes in. Are you guys with me? What is the secret to a visitation with God? To understand your weakness, that it is nothing about you. And you say, God, I need you in this situation. And His grace will be sufficient for you. Why must He visit you? So, number one, say with me, weak things. So He comes to those, and I hope you understand me. I'm not endorsing sin yet anyway. You know, when we preach like this, people think we are now justifying our own sin. or you know, that preaches in some sin because they just... No. We're speaking to you truth. Something that we have... People think we have... Somebody... Oh, this is where it came from. Somebody asked me the question yesterday. A minister asked me a question. How do you guys grow so big and so fast? Because they see us online. They see when, you know, just... they see us. And these are people that have gone for many, many, many years. And I said to them, look, I can give you every key, like, you know, it's discipleship, it's this, it's that. I said, but it's not none of that. I said, the thing is, I didn't do anything. And I said, it is nothing but the grace of God. It is not that I can say it is because we have done this, or it is because we have done this. The moment I do it, we take the glory for ourselves. I said to him, I'll give you an answer that you don't want to hear. And that is that we didn't do anything. It is by the grace of God. You know, the more I say to God that I can't do this, the more it happens. Because He gets the glory. So go with me to John, say with me, visitation. Oh, wait, where we are? Let's stay by 2. Let me not go off track. Let's stay by 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse 10. But God, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Listen to this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Say with me, diligent. So He says, I want you to make your call and your election sure. How do you make your call sure? The only way you can make your call sure is by God visiting you. You cannot read it out of the Bible, except for the Great Commission and what the normal things you are doing. But when I'm speaking about a personal call, what is the calling of God upon your life? It doesn't come via somebody can prophesy to you, and that's good. But it doesn't come really. You need to be diligent, meaning put everything in it to make confident and make sure what the calling of God is upon your life and what the election is and if you are elected or not. Are you guys with me? Not everyone is elected. Everyone has a calling, but not everyone is elected. Election is something else. Calling is something else. But let's stick to calling for now. To make your call sure, put everything, meaning put all diligence into it. If somebody, I said this morning, some people stand in front of us, and those are the people we feel like slapping. They come to me, they say, I don't know what my calling is. I said, no, that's fine. I said, what is your desire, your dream in you? I don't know. I don't have any dreams. I mean, just go home, you know? Because even sinners has a dream. But God has put eternity into the heart of men. Meaning, people know what they, you know what is the most, I said this morning, what must be the most miserable place to be in. And I'm not speaking for those, some people might not be in their call because they are in a time of testing or wilderness. But those who have chosen to do a business or a job that has nothing to do with their gift. Nothing. They don't even want to be there. And how do we begin to change that? It begins with an encounter with God and then beginning to realign your life. I mean, people say, but I do it for money. And, you know, so as we said this morning, followership is the demand of sonship. And then total obedience. You say, I immediately respond to the call of God. Not, okay, I'll get this salary. Okay, then I'll come into full-time ministry. You know, how much can you pay me? When has this become a job, a negotiation? When Jesus walked and he said, follow me, he said, follow me. And the moment they said they have something else, he told them to go. When God called us and called me, it was not a massive vision I had. Visitations came later on. And many of those visitations were not even in relation to my calling. Are you guys with me? But it was a nudging in my heart. What is the difference between those who are being used by God and those who are not? Is that those who are being used by God have the same nudge in their heart as those who are not. They just responded with faith and raw faith and obedience. And God is pleased with faith. Why am I preaching this message? Because as we are going towards the end times or towards the end, God is going to use more and more people in ministry. Do you know how many are called in this building right now? When I say call, let me speak of full-time ministry. A lot. The only difference is some respond, some don't. Are you guys with me? It will cost you everything. That is why you must have a visitation so that that can be affirmed. Because you see, when the Lord said to Abraham, move, leave your father's house, the Bible doesn't clarify how the Lord spoke to him, to us. Now we can get into a theological way and so on, but the Lord didn't appear to him. But then we see as he went on, and he actually disobeyed that actual instruction, he left to a place where God will show him. But which shows you that God is not looking for perfection. And the call of God is not worried about sin. I'm going to say it again. The call of God is not disturbed or worried about sin. It has been dealt with on the cross. Our perception or our understanding of sin is totally skewed. We think smoking is a sin and drinking is a sin. Don't do it, please. It's bad for your body. But I said to someone, somebody says smoking is I shouldn't be preaching this online, but it's fine. So, you know, where does it say thou shalt not smoke? It doesn't say that anywhere. And that's the law. And even if it did, we are no longer under the law. What is the difference between smoking or somebody so addicted on sugar that they're killing themselves? And that one judges the one that is smoking. Please don't smoke, okay? And get the understanding how we have naturalized and humanized sin to bring it to a natural level, to say that is sin and that not. I challenge all my friends that is in the ministry. They always tell me that this one is doing this. And I said, how can you say that is sin? How can you judge that one? I said, you are doing this. So what's the difference? God is not fazed by the Spirit. And I'm not Gnostic, because they will chop this stuff up. Gnostic means that God is there, we are here, we accept that we are weakness, and we allow our weaknesses because we are totally sin. No, I'm not speaking Gnosticism. We obey and we want to live holy because we want to live and be an example. I'm speaking about the concept of sin, where it brings in legalism and the law when it's being preached. I mentioned this morning in Krugersdorp about divorce. How we have preached to say if you are divorced, you live in adultery. And we have taken the scripture out of context. That means 50% of you here are living in adultery and you're on your way to hell. So what's the worth of even sitting in church? Are you guys with me? And I'm not endorsing divorce. God hates divorce. God wants to have, God is a God of covenant. Okay? But we cannot naturalize sin. Why am I preaching these things? Because it limits visitations. It limits visitations. God is looking for a childlikeness in our hearts that can respond with faith. Let me tell you, what was it that pleased and attracted God towards Abraham? It was faith. The man had sin and he had a lot of sin. He disobeyed God. He disobeyed the call of God. Yet he's called the father of our faith. Are you guys with me? So what is the one thing that allows a visitation to come? To understand your weakness. To say that, and there's nothing I can do about it, but by the grace of God. And you surrender it to Him. And He makes your weakness a strength. Are you guys with me? Don't leave your weakness a weakness. He will make it a strength. And I'm not confused. Don't confuse a weakness with sin. Don't put words in my mouth. Are you guys with me? So don't confuse a weight with a sin and a weakness with sin. I'm just speaking of an area where you feel like you don't have the ability to do something. It is in that area where God will show off. And then it says in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 verse 21, you don't have to go there, but it says the Lord continued to appear to Samuel in Shiloh. He continued, which means there was a variety and a continual of appearances of God. People knew that in Shiloh, God lived. What is Shiloh? It is a place of peace and rest. It is your spirit that is at a place of rest. You can only be in a place of rest once the grace of God is on you. Even though your weakness is there, you understand, but it is by His grace. Grace is a place of rest in the spirit. It's a place of Shiloh. It is there where God visits you. Where God continually appears to people. Let's go to John 14 verse 21. How does God visit you? Listen to this. He who has my commandments and keep them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will appear to him. What is the commandments? The Bible says that there's only two commandments. Love the Lord your God as you love yourself. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you guys with me? Meaning he says, when you fulfill the commandments, and we can take this in relation to the law, in relation to as the word of God, when we get the word in. Now, in 1 Samuel 3 verse 21, it says the Lord continued to appear as Shiloh. It says this, that the Lord appeared to Samuel by his word. Are you guys with me? Go there, 1 Samuel 3 verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, continued to appear in the NIV. And then it says, for the Lord revealed himself. God revealed and showed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. When I get into the word and I take this Bible and I mix it with spirit, meaning that I'm in a place of prayer, or I'm in a place of not just where I can actually read this word. If you're natural, you won't be able to open it. When your spirit, those who are born of the spirit, they are like the wind. You don't know neither where they're coming from nor where they're going, for they are like the wind, and so are those who are born of the spirit. For Jesus says, unless you're born of water and of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? And so say with you, the word of God. So it is by my weakness, number one. God chooses and looks for those who are base, who are the base things, who are disqualified. The moment you have been disqualified in life is the moment where the qualification of God comes on you. A lot of people think, and this has come to me as being over the church, and some people say, I would just hear people talk, or it would come through my staff and so on, and I think this one thinks that they cannot be doing this because they are not good enough. I don't know how it works. God chose me when I was weak. I didn't have the ability to speak in front of people. Yet I had visions of preaching in front of people, but I couldn't. I even tried. I failed miserably. Are you guys with me? When I stand here and I walk and talk and I do scriptures, I do it in my weakness by the grace of God. God will take years and years to form you and shape you, and even for visitations to take place. So we said, number one, say with you, weakness. Number two, say with you, the word of God. And number three, say with you, waiting. And I want to say again, as I do most on Sunday evenings, when I preach, there is nothing, no notes. When you see me pause, it's because I'm trying to hear from God. Okay. Sometimes I preach to myself. Sometimes I read a scripture and I act like I know the scripture, and I'm like blown away while I'm reading it. People need to understand. But be those who are born of the Spirit. We're going to get to the third point just now. Waiting. Abraham, with the Lord, told him, leave your father and your mother's house. Then between that, before the Lord came to him and said that you will be multiplied like this, your descendants shall be multiplied like the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. Before it came to that, there was another visitation the Lord came to him. I think it shares with it in the book of Hebrews, speaking of it, where the Lord appeared to him there to encourage him and motivate him because he wanted to give up. But then we see when the Abrahamic covenant came, the Lord appeared to him. But then you see again, Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham and came and walked like a human being. Now there's a difference in this appearance. The Lord appeared to Abraham beforehand, but it doesn't tell us how. That appearance can be in a vision. It can be in a dream. It can just be an audible voice. But the one in Genesis 18, the Lord came and walked like a human being to him. Like a person. And God had restrictions there in relation to a natural body. He had a body there that was not born from a woman, but he had a body because he's God, he can do it. Why do I say he had limitations there? The Bible says he rested under the tree. He ate food. Are you guys with me? God. I'm not saying he's not omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I'm just saying in that bodily form, it's strange that he had those limitations. He could have anytime just disappeared, and he is above this dimension. But when the Lord appeared to Abraham like that, it didn't just happen. it was 30 years from his previous visitation. And that visitation was about, I think, another 20 years from when the Lord spoke to him. He was 99 when the Lord appeared to him in Genesis 17 and 18, walking like a human being to him. 30 years later. So visitations increase, manifestations and appearances of God increase in its substance and its intensity over time. Are you guys with me? And people want to backslide after 1 year because they can't find God, or a few months because they can't find God. We're speaking about a mantle that must be cultured in your life, something that you can pass on to somebody else that takes 20, 30, 40 years of a relationship and walking with God. Are you guys with me? And we can look at this with Moses as well. Moses, 40 years before the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, the same. David, the same. Jesus, the same. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. And I don't want to say there was doubt, but I also want to say there was doubt, because the scripture indicates towards it. When the heavens opened and a voice spoke out of heaven to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why did God come when he was 30? Meaning there was 30 years that nothing happened in Jesus' life. He was teaching, he was doing things. There was, and I don't want to humanize him in any way, but the Bible says he was tempted in all things that we are tempted in. But yet, he did not fail in any of it. But he's a high priest that can relate to our weaknesses, because he was tempted in all ways. So if he was tempted, doubt was there. He even said, "Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross. But not my will, but your will be done." Jesus himself. Are you guys with me? He was tempted, but he was not found sinning. So we see how there's a time difference and there's a waiting period. Say with you, waiting. Let's go to Isaiah 40 verse 31. Before we go there, I mean, you can put it on the screen so long, but Isaiah 40 verse 31, we see Jacob. Years before he encountered God at Bethel. Now, he encountered God and he missed an encounter because he was not sensitive. He came to the place where his father Abraham, his grandfather Abraham, made a sacrifice or offering at that place. And he slept there the night, not knowing anything, and he had a dream. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And he woke up. In fact, the Bible says the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he missed an encounter. Until the second time when he went past that place again, many years later, when he went past that place again, he saw a man walking there. And in fact, the way how the scripture speaks is that he did not know that it was an angel. He did not know that it was God or the Lord. And the man began to wrestle with him. Or he wrestled that man through the night. And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Because he said, "I am not going to let this encounter pass me by again." But what happened to him? God took him through many years of more brokenness to say to him that now when I visit you, you will take it serious. Many times a delay is there for your blessing, or brokenness is there for your blessing. Time has a voice and it will speak. Are you guys with me? It will vindicate you eventually. God will use time, he will use waiting to bring you to a place where you will appreciate an encounter with him. Some sitting here might say, "But you know, I encountered God already so many years ago, or I missed it there." Listen, Time is a teacher and the best teacher there is. Time is a voice. Time reveals everything. But time also brings a brokenness. It brings an appreciation. It brings a desperation. Where you say that I cannot miss this again, because it'll be too late. And Jacob said and wrestled with the angel and said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he was commissioned a prince with God. Are you guys with me? So God will push you to a place of brokenness. In fact, when it came to David in the book of Psalms, he said, you have broken all my bones. Meaning, God, you have broken everything in me. That God broke David. It's a message that preachers don't like to preach. In fact, I was rebuked by one preacher about it. I'm thinking, but it's in the Bible. God will allow things to happen to break you until your heart is at a place of desperation. It is just sad that that has to happen before we respond. But you can respond earlier. Are you guys with me? So go back for me to 2 Peter chapter... Where are we now? Let me just see what verse is this one on here. Now go back for me to 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse 10. We'll get now to the third point of waiting. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Let's go next on. For so an entrance, say with me, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Say with me, an entrance. I said to you, there's three realms: hearing, seeing, entering. How do you enter? When you're diligently making your call and your election sure, there'll be an entrance supplied, meaning a door will be opened for you, not into heaven, into the kingdom on this earth. Into the kingdom where you can be used by God, the doors will be opened. An entrance will be supplied, distributed to you. Are you guys with me? You want God to open up the door. Because the moment God opens up the door, no man can shut it. But if you open up the door yourself, others can shut it. And you have to keep it open. But if you diligently make sure the call and the election, and you wait and you press in and you push and you understand your weakness, but you know that you have a theophany or a visitation, doors will be open to you. Meaning that God will not waste a visitation. He will not waste a theophany. The moment He visits you, doors will open and promotion will come. Have your seats, have your seats. He will not waste it. He will use somebody He's visited. God doesn't visit somebody in vain. If you had an encounter with Him, it is because of a divine purpose and an intent. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, so with you wait. So we see this concept of God in the Bible where He's very patient, even slow in our understanding. Time is irrelevant for Him. I mean, why was Abram only used at 99, to be honest? Why could God not use him when he was 30? Why not? Why did Jesus have to wait till 30? Why not till 20? His disciples, some of them were 18. But what is it about God that He would wait? Because the only way for a person's character to be shaped and formed is by time. Are you guys with me? But those who wait on the Lord. Now, I know we preached on this in another concept. We preached on this on the basis of prayer. How you sit and wait on God. That's not that. But I'm speaking now using the scripture in the context of life and calling. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And we preached on this on how to pray. There is a spiritual strength. When the Bible says that Jesus or John became strong in spirit, the child grew in the deserts until he became strong in the spirit. There's a spiritual strength. It's called the technique, it's called the technology of God. How you take a cell phone and you can charge it. And it gives itself spiritual strength or energy. There's a renewal and a recharging. In the same way, God has a concept in the spirit called waiting that recharges and charges you. And how do we wait? We're going to get to it now. Because they say waiting of years, but there's something we have to do in that waiting. To become like God. To become close to Him. The only way we can get to Him. And the only way we can be used by Him. Are you guys with me? Oh, wait. So wait on the Lord. So renew their strength. So those who wait. So remember this. So there's three things on how a visitation takes place. Weakness, the word, and waiting. But I'm going to expound on waiting just now a little bit more. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Say with me, mount up. With wings like eagles. Meaning they shall go to a higher place when they wait. They shall go to a place of ascension. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 24, verse 9. There's a secret when it comes to prophets. Oh, wait. Let's go first to, before we go there. You know, and I don't understand it. People say, oh, we just prophesy in the church. We just do. I'm thinking, but we preach ours just the word. What are you talking about? You're so blinded by your religion. I love preaching the word. Demonstration we'll do and we'll always do it and it's there. But if you can get the word in you, it builds you. Demonstration doesn't build you. It makes people fickle if they don't have the word in them. It makes them shallow if they don't have the word in them. Are you guys with me? Let me just see if I can get it here. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse 9. So this is where Samuel told Saul to go to the hill of God. Let me just read you. So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill of God, say with me, the hill of God, you will see prophets always operating on a high place. You'll see God visiting people, mostly in scriptures, in a high place. You'll see offerings being done in a high place. Solomon, when he did 1,000 offerings, he did it in a high place. And the Bible says directly after he did it, the Lord visited him and appeared to him in a dream and said to him, ask of me anything and I'll give it to you. Are you guys with me? He literally gave him a blank check after a big offering. So you must see what a big offering does. Okay. When they came there to the hill, because we need to buy or build or and we need to do it in a few months or get something so you can make a big offering. We need millions. When they came there to the hill, say with me, the hill. It is the high place, the hill of God. There was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him. And he prophesied among them. Where were the prophets found? On the hill of God. There's a place in the realm of the Spirit that is the place of ascension, the place of heights, the hill. Once you are at a place of heights, your eyesight changes. When Joshua and Caleb went in with the 10 other spies into the promised land, The spies said that the giants in the land were like giants and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, because they were looking from a valley to something that was higher than them. But Joshua and Caleb had an eyesight where they said that the giants were like grasshoppers in our eyes and we were like giants in their sight, because the perception changed and the level of sight was shifted. There was no difference in person. It was the level of sight that changed. Meaning, are you looking at your problems from a high place or from a low place? There's a place of ascension where nothing is impossible. You look at things from a... Are you guys with me? Listen. Every time Abraham had a visit, there was three shifts in Abraham's life. And those three shifts took place where the scripture says, lift up your eyes and see. And every time the Lord came to him, he says, lift up your eyes. And the word lifting up means opening up your spiritual eyes. What does it mean? They're all standing like this and then they looked up. No. The lift, say with me, lift up. Take your eyesight and put it in an ascension. Lift up your eyesight and put it in a high place. Have the eye of a prophet where you can see in the distance, because you are at a high place to see far. It is required for prophets to be in a high place because they need to see with a distance. Are you guys with me? It is the place of ascension. Zanos de Eke. Go with me where we were. When they came to the heel of God, the ones on Jesus says, there was a group, a company of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. But it was at the heel of God where there was an atmosphere in the place. Are you guys with me? Where the Spirit of the Lord, listen, when the Holy Ghost comes upon someone, they will prophesy. Healing, deliverance, those things come later. The first sign of the outpouring of the Spirit of God is prophecy. Are you guys with me? And people want to stop prophets in the church. Many ministers want to stop prophets in the church. Do you know how prophets are despised in the local church? There's nothing in me that would want to call myself a prophet. For what reason? It makes your blood to be shed. The inheritance of prophets is for their blood to be shed. The Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. Next verse. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Why? Because he was in a place of ascension. His everything about him changed. Even the way when people looked at him. What happened to Jesus? Where was Jesus when the transfiguration took place? And the Bible says his face shone like light, like the sun. And Elijah and Moses appeared. Was it Elijah and Moses? Elijah and Moses appeared. And Peter was there and appeared right there. Where was it? Say with me, on the mountain. It is a place of ascension. Nothing with God happens in a low place. Where did Jesus go when he gave gifts unto men? The Bible says he ascended on high and he gave gifts unto men. Spiritual gifts is found in a place of ascension. Heavenly gifts is found in a place of ascension. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Exodus chapter number 24, verse 9. La-ro-no. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. Listen to this. And 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were paved, a work of sapphire stone. Now listen to this. They were on the place called the mountain of God. The hill of God. there was under their feet, the ground changed into a work of sapphire stone because heaven interfered to where they were. They were in a mountain of God. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. It was as if they were in heaven. And they saw, say with you, they saw the God of Israel, not Moses. They saw the God of Israel. A lot of us think just Moses saw God. They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of, and it was like the heavens in clarity. Just move on with me. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God and they ate and drank. Are you guys with me? Where are they now? And then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. Come up here. So they come up. It is a place of ascension. Are you guys with me? Where are we? Verse 12. Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I've written, that you may teach them. This is the, let me just go there. This is what we call the mountain of God. Go with me to, jump with me to verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called out to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So did the midst of the cloud. God's voice is in the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. In the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Say with you, the place of ascension. It is the place of waiting. When you wait, what will happen? You will mount up with wings like an eagle. You'll be taken up into a place of ascension. There is an art and a technology in waiting that makes you or takes you to the heel of God. Are you guys with me? And please consider this. When Moses went up to the mountain, that it was not everybody, it was just him allowed. Then there was leaders that went with him, but to a certain height only. And then they had to stop. And Moses actually said to them, wait here, I will go higher. And I'll come back to you. When Abraham went up to Mount, I think it was Mount Horeb, to give up his only son as an offering, he went up with young men. But when they came to a certain height, he told them, stay here. Me and my son will go higher. And we'll come back to you. It is the art of sonship that can go higher than what others can go. Church members can go a certain height. Children can go another height. Sons can go to the top where God lives. Are you guys with me? When Abraham was on the mountaintop of Mount Horeb, I think it was Mount Horeb, when he was on the mountaintop and he was about to give his son as an offering, the Bible says he turned around and looked and he saw a ram caught in the thicket bush. Meaning that God has provision in a place of ascension. There is prosperity in a place of ascension. It was there where the son of promise was being made manifest. The Isaac was made manifest. Nations, your inheritance and a destiny is in a place of ascension. Your eyes will change. It is the lifting up of your eyes. Everywhere where the Bible says lift up your eyes, it means to open up your spiritual eyes, but you must take it to a height. Are you guys with me? This does not come by a 5-minute prayer. It comes by being in the Spirit, being strong in the Spirit, having the ability to wait on the Lord, to wait on God, and being taken into a high place on whatever that waiting is, whether it is by worshiping or praying, but it has the ability to shut everything out, where it is just you and God. And when you come out of that prayer room, you look at things with a different perspective. You look at things from a different angle. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Luke 1 verse 18. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert. Say with me, strong in spirit. God is looking for people. You see, what happens when a visitation comes to you? You become strong. But a visitation comes to those who understand their weaknesses, to those who knows the word, to those who knows how to wait on God. There's something in a person that is going for years or years and years and years and years with God. I'm not speaking of years and years and years of failing or years and years and years of backsliding. I'm saying years and years and years with God. There's a waiting period. It is a testing period. It is a time of trials and tests until the day of your appearance. The moment God appears to you is the day you appear to others. It says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts, the wilderness, until, say with me, until the day of his manifestation to Israel, until the day of his appearance, that word is supposed to be, to Israel. Meaning, as you are embracing your wilderness experience, knowing that it is in your wilderness where the voice of God speaks, it is in the deserts where God makes himself known to you, it is in that place where God appears to you. When you stay in hiding and you don't want to promote yourself, you don't want to appear yourself, you don't want to manifest yourself, but you're saying, I'm going to wait until God opens up the door. Are you guys with me? And the day that, if your appearance, the day that God opens up a door, as I said, no man will be able to shut it. People will embrace you. Your enemies will embrace you. Because they will not know that it is you. Jacob's brother Esau ran and chased him to kill him and murder him. Because he stole his birthright and many other things. But when Jacob had a theophany and a divine encounter with God, an appearance and a visitation, he turned back and Esau fell on his neck and they wept. Because he met a prince with God called Israel. Because there was a transformation that changed everything about him. Every enemy that is after you, after a visitation with God, things will shift. You'll see things changing. Them opening up doors. You'll see your enemies give into your life. When you have a God visitation or a God appearance upon you. Are you guys with me? Have you seen? It's what happened to Moses. He was on the backside of the desert and he had a theophany. The Bible says the bush was a flaming fire. And there was an angel standing in the midst of the fiery bush. On fire, and even the angel on fire. And the bush spoke and God spoke through the bush. The angel of the Lord was standing there. And the Lord spoke through the bush to Moses. Because Moses had a theophany and a visitation, he had the ability to go back into a country where he was a fugitive, where a bounty was on his head. And he had the ability to walk in there and speak to the one that wanted to kill him. Are you guys with me? He's taking millions of workforce out of the country because of him. And yet he goes back to Pharaoh because of a theophany, a visitation. It is one encounter with God that can change the way your family looks at you, or past people looked at you, or how things worked out. Maybe doors weren't opening in a job or a work, but one encounter can shift things. But it is God's waiting period that you have to wait until that time. What happens? What do I do during a time of waiting? Go through to Luke 18 verse 1. Luke 18 verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. Say with me, always ought to pray and not lose heart. It's what we call ceaseless prayer. Prayer, and what I'm always trying to say is, prayer is not praying in tongues only. That praying in tongues is praying in tongues. It is a part of prayer. But prayer is God communicating to you. It is you communicating to God. It doesn't matter where you are. How can you be always in prayer but you have work to do? Because it is not you that's praying, it's your spirit that prays. It is your spirit that can stay in a place of communication with God, that can stay in a place of connection with Him. Are you guys with me? Communion, continual communion with Him. That it doesn't matter where you are at, you are in communication with Him. You hear Him speak to you, or you speak to Him. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Next verse. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, listen to this, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. So the continual coming. He says, because of her persistency. There's another parable where it says a friend came. A traveler came to a certain man's house looking for something to eat, and it was midnight. And this person went to a friend or to a neighbor, knocked on the door, but the person didn't want to wake up. And I'm just paraphrasing for the sake of time. Didn't want to open up. But because of his continual knocking, he got irritated and he just went and opened up and he gave him bread or what he needed, food, what he needed for the traveler. There's a persistency where you can continue to knock in your spirit. Are you guys with me? Where this widow, even though it was an evil judge, she persistently continued to push and be in a place of prayer. Jesus is using this parable to explain ceaseless prayer, persistent prayer. Go on with that where we were on the verse. She will avenge, lest by her continual coming, she will hurt me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them, say with me, speedily. What does ceaseless prayer do? Persistent prayer. It shortens your waiting period. It shortens the delay. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? How does a person look that is full of faith? Say with me, full of prayer. Prayer is a sign of faith. When you see somebody praying, you know it is somebody that has faith. Are you guys with me? When you see somebody that is praying, that is ceaselessly praying, continually praying. Like I said, we have prayer meetings here and it's going good. On Saturday, we have a lot of people, both campuses and online. And then obviously, we've got other campuses as well. But we have prayer. It's amazing that you'll see people that will pray or people that are in trouble sometimes. Financially or maybe they, you know, but those who everything is going okay, this becomes a dependency on themselves where they don't need God, so they don't pray. So the spirit of prayerlessness comes in and the grace for prayer is taken away slowly. The grace for prayer is where you have a hunger to pray. Unless you have the grace of prayer and supplication, you cannot pray. Unless God draws you towards Him, you cannot come. Meaning, the only way we can pray and seek Him is when a grace is poured out. It's the grace of prayer, the spirit of prayer and supplication. Are you guys with me? The spirit of prayer and supplication, that once you are baptized in the spirit of prayer and supplication, there'll be a hunger in you to pray. But otherwise, it's natural. You will say, okay, I'm going to start praying. You will never stop praying. 3 months will go by. But how does that grace come? We spoke on yielding and waiting for many times before. We preached on it many times before. But say with me, a spirit of prayer and supplication. Ceaseless prayer. When your flesh feels like it cannot, but you carry on just focusing on God. When you want to see somebody that is strong in the spirit, you look at a prayerful person. Everything about them, and the outside they might look weak, but in the inside, their stature, their spiritual stature. Go with me, Luke 2 verse 40. Luke chapter number 2 verse 40. The child grew and became strong in spirit. Go with me to 52, 2 verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom, say with me, and stature. So there's a spiritual stature about a person. And then it says, and when his stature was being increased, he became strong in the spirit and in favor with God and men. 2 verse 40 says, and the grace of God was on him. That when you grow strong in the spirit, in a time of hiding when nobody is looking or seeing, but you're pressing in prayer and worship, listen to me, it is just a matter of time. God is not confused, neither is He blind, neither do we serve a God that is deaf, nor does He doesn't have His arm shortened that He cannot reach out. When somebody seeks Him in their homes, it is just a matter of time until the Spirit of the Lord comes on you and you're used by Him. It is just a matter of time. When you listen to me, when you're alone in your house, I'm not speaking about even coming to a prayer meeting, but you seek Him, you'll be so on fire. You'll be serving in the church. You'll be at prayer meetings. You'll be doing everything. Why? Because God's favor and grace will be upon you. Grace is extended when a person is strong in the spirit. Grace is extended when a person is in their deserts and their wilderness and they have a spirit of prayer upon their lives. Grace is extended when they have the spirit of prayer and supplication. Are you guys with me? Have a seat. Have a seat. So back to Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? That there is divine God appearances and visitations. You see, prayer is built by an altar that you have at home. An altar of prayer will expose your weakness. Build an altar of prayer and you'll see how strong you are in the spirit or not. Build an altar of prayer and see if you have the ability to go and pray for hours. It'll expose your weaknesses or your strength. It'll reveal who is strong in the spirit or not. Are you guys with me? And the more weaker you become in the flesh, the more stronger you become in the spirit. I'm going to say it again. You know, when we prophesy, and we prophesy late at night, or we do a partner's retreat, or it becomes late, like when I say late, like 2 a.m., and everything in you, my body is so sore, I'm tired, you just want to sleep. You're standing in front of somebody and you have to prophesy to them. Or when we do it on live stream or any meetings, but I will sometimes wait till late, because then your flesh becomes dead. And all of a sudden you become more accurate. The gifts begin to flow. Then you begin to prophesy, just accurate. Why? There's no flesh that brings a distortion in your sight. The flesh is dead. Paul said the outward man is being continually broken over and over, while the inward man is being strengthened and renewed day by day. But it comes by a breaking of the outward man. How do you break the outward man? By breaking this flesh. If you pray and you feel, oh, let me just go and do this or relax, you carry, then there's another 2 hours of prayer. One minister said, if you are saved before your 20s and you haven't prayed 10 hours straight before you're 20 years old, you'll be useless in the kingdom. Now, that's a bit legalistic, but there's a point, okay? Have you prayed 12 hours straight? Show me somebody that has, or somebody that does, and I'll show you somebody that is used by God. There'll be so much favor on them. There's no way that you pray and you do not become like God. There's no way that you pray for that long and seeking God that your nature doesn't change more into Him. There's no way that you pray like that, that victory doesn't come into your life in every area. We try to work and assess things naturally, financially this, and let's do that. No, all God is saying, I build an altar. Put your life on the altar. Are you guys with me? I was thinking, while we were driving here, I was just thinking, because we used to have like prayers for like 12 hours. So we'll come from like 7 at night or 7 in the morning. And you prayed, and I was thinking, we should do that again. Then I thought, oh, they banned night vigils in South Africa. So, but we can just say we don't know what a night vigil is. And, no, it's not banned anymore. The state of disaster is over. Huh? Sorry? How is it banned? No, but the set of disasters over this, they don't have to pass that other thing first, and there's a gap. No, it ended last week. Huh? Oh, they renewed it. Oh, okay. I thought I don't have to wear a mask now. Hey? 4 hours. Anyway, for this one, you can do it. You can break the law on night vigil. I probably shouldn't have said it on a live stream, but my Bible says you can break the law in that, so you can break the law in that. The Bible says in Acts they broke the law for that, so it's the gathering of the church. It's a communistic country we are living in, with draconian rules and totalitarianism. With that, you can break the law. But I was just thinking, how, if people will, like, if we have a prayer meeting from 7 to 7, now our intercessors will come. But you will see who can do it and go through till that next morning. Are you guys with me? And you can see who is strong in the spirit. But again, show me somebody. There was a time when I prayed when we started the ministry. We were doing a long fast. I prayed sometimes 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours, 6 hours, 6 to 8 hours a day. Just praying in tongues, just focusing, just praying. You walk out of there with so much power on you. Now people pray a few minutes Because we have a generation that just wants things fast and fast and fast. God's operation does, and modus operandi does not change. He works according to waiting. He will make you wait for power. What did Jesus say? He said, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Meaning that waiting will bring and clothe you with the power of the Holy Ghost. But what is he says, tarry ye, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power. Power does not come without waiting. Are you guys with me? Say with me, waiting. That's why I'm making you just wait tonight. I could have ended 30 minutes ago. Okay. If you go preach in other churches, like churches that where there's revival, you preach like this for like their services is 6 hours, 7 hours. And then it's a gap and there's another 6 hour or 7 hour service. But we'll usually do this and I'll just let people wait and wait so that they can get upset. Some just leave. And it's okay. God still loves them. It just means they're not ready for their flesh to be broken. And they'll have every natural excuse. Work the next morning. We also work this the next morning. We also have children. You know, as if like preachers don't have children. People are like, my child can't stay so long. Your child will be fine. Trust me. We were doing 5 hour services. Now we won't do 5 hour, but we were doing 5 hour services continually for like 2-3 years until my team said to me, or they said, you know, the children's church, the people are bad, it's 5 hours. And then I realized it is bad. I didn't think of it, but we also have children. We're in a country that they are going to pass laws that is against the church. God has already shown me they're going to pass laws. And you cannot do this thing without Him. And I'm not speaking about a powerless, fake, seeker-sensitive church. Like the ones who have their vaccination services. They have no power. They can't cast out a devil if their life depended on it. I met that very church. I saw there, we were out. Who was with me? Was it Martin's or I was alone? I can't remember. I was at a hotel and I think I was there. I was there. No, when we go to hotels, people know our ministry. So many times we have the waiters or the staff working there. It's like 2 minutes and then they buy a room, open up the door and people are on their knees and bringing gifts and one prophecy. And this happened there. So I'm sitting there in the hotel. I think I was alone. And I see this couple there. And I thought the guy looked familiar a bit, or I heard somewhere, or something, I can't remember, but somewhere I heard Alan told me or something and said to me, no, that's the associate pastor of this church, and the wife being the worship leader, or something like that, that type of thing. And so I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So I'm sitting, so I know these guys sometimes know me, so they're hiding now. Because now I'm like by the restaurant. But now the restaurant, you can go all the way down. So I see them, they like in the dark there, and it's okay, it's fine, he's married. And but then I see the waiters going up and down with bottles of wine, up and down with bottles of wine. And I'm like, you know, and in the meantime, I'm sitting by the table, I was about to check out. And the waiters are around my table. Two are there. I'm prophesying to them. While I'm prophesying to them, these guys came walking up. They were not even ashamed. They were like just like dodging us and walking along, hoping that these guys don't know they are Christians. And they were most probably the way that I know them. I'm speaking about big churches. The way I know them, they'll be anti the anointing, anti Christ. They'll actually despise what I'm doing. Prophecy is the only gift that the Bible says, do not despise it. Yet the church despises prophecies. It's the only gift where God gives them command. Do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophesying. Why? Because he knew that prophets are going to be despised. and it's a way to bring judgment. Are you guys with me? God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Because he knew people would do prophets harm. And it's a way for him to bring some things. Because it's in his word and his word is exalted above himself. I rightly divide the word of truth. So they're getting drunk and, you know, and they, listen, those guys cannot do, they cannot heal somebody's headache. They cannot cast out a devil. They cannot prophesy if their life depends on it. But they build churches, and I'm not against, I love mega churches. We want a great church and so on. But I'm speaking against the Seekers Church movement. Because when I say they anti you, they anti you. There's two churches that will rise. One that is anti-Christ spirit. There is no working of the gifts. They ban you from praying in tongues, even if you're just singing. You're not allowed to pray in tongues. Even in the church, you're not allowed as a leader to pray for somebody and maybe just, you know, while you're praying for somebody and you're just labruski, you're not allowed to do it. You're removed from leadership. And these are the churches that's on TV. Meaning that there is required and a need for the supernatural power of God. And those who move in power will be persecuted even more. Are you guys with me? Listen, as a prophet, I'm despised by many. Many. I can go to pastors' meeting, we're despised by 90% of them. Until, I said another word almost, until the trouble comes. Okay? So then they want prophecy. Some would phone me 1 o'clock in the morning, they want prophecy. It's like Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night so that nobody will see him. But I'm not speaking of a seeker-sensitive church or a powerless church. Get out, even on, you know, I don't know, people, you know, no, get out of a church like that. John said, this, the Antichrist spirit is in the church already. What is Antichrist? Anti the anointing. Christ, Christos, Mashiach, Mashiach, being rubbed and smeared, the anointed and his anointing. Anti the anointing, Antichrist, anti-power of the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? And you'll be shocked if you see how many there are. I mean, we were recently attacked some sort by people that are big in the body of Christ. Just against prophecy. And yet the Bible says, despise not prophesying. Prophecy, the Bible says that Judas and Silas that traveled with Paul. Judas and Silas traveled with Paul. They were both prophets. And they were prophesying to the brethren, encouraging one another. Yet, I was told there's no place for prophecy in the church. There it is in the Bible. And that's one verse of many. One person said, where's it in the Bible? There's nowhere in the Bible. I'm not going to say how they did it and everything, but there's nowhere in the Bible. I'm thinking, you're a preacher for so many years. Let's just be honest. Why are we fighting with gifts against one another? Because maybe if I was called a pastor, there would be no fight. The devil hates prophets. Prophets give people hope. It gives them vision. But not just that. It's the only gift that imparts mantles apart from an apostle. And it's the only gift, apart from an apostle, that has sons. Pastors don't have, evangelists don't have. I'm just saying purely scriptura, scriptura. Are you guys with me? Sola scriptura. Purely that. If you look at the word, if you look at spiritual sons, it was the prophets and apostles that had it. I'm not saying others can't have it. I'm just saying the word is saying that. And the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ as the chief cornerstone. You can't get it more clearer than that. What does it say in Corinthians? Apostles first, prophets second, teachers, miracle workers, and etc. And gives the hierarchy of the church, the order, the structure of the church. Pastor is mentioned once in the New Testament. Prophet is mentioned over 100 times. Pastor is mentioned once. Yet we make everybody pastors. And we say there's no prophets. And we wonder why the church fails to grow. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a visitation with God. A visitation will bring transformation. It'll bring impartation. And it'll bring a manifestation of what you have encountered. It requires somebody to understand their weaknesses and come to God and asking Him of His grace, coming with their weaknesses to Him. Jesus has been sent to those who are sick and not those who are healthy. Are you guys with me? So He comes to those. Number two, it is those who are in love and filled with the words. God revealed Himself to Samuel by His words. My Father will manifest Himself to you when you know His commandments. He will love you. I will love you. And He will manifest Himself to you. He will appear to you. A visitation. Number three, say with you, waiting. A waiting period brings visitations and theophanies. But in that waiting period, while I'm in a place of ceaseless prayer, are you guys with me?